Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna, everybody. Glad somebody came even on such a warm day as today. We're going to read a couple of verses. The first verse we're going to read is in the Bhagavad Gita, which is a song of God. And we're going to read in the 15th chapter, the 10th verse. First we'll invoke some auspiciousness. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. This is the chapter called The Yoga of the Supreme Person. Ukramantam stitam bhapi.
Ukramantam stitam bhapi.
Bhungyanam bhagunam vitam. Nimudhananupasyanti. Pasyanti jnana chakshushaha. Ukramantam stitam bhapi. Bhujanam bhagunanditam. Nimudhananupasyanti. Pasyanti jnana chakshushaha. So I'll read the translation and the purport by Srila Prabhupada. The foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell or the modes of nature. The one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. Purport. The word Gyanachakshus is very significant. Without knowledge, one cannot understand how a living entity leaves his present body, nor what form of body he's going to take in the next life, nor even why he is living in a particular type of body. This requires a great amount of knowledge understood from Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures heard from a bona fide spiritual master. One who is trained to perceive all these things is fortunate. Every living entity is quitting his body under certain circumstances. He is living under certain circumstances, and he's enjoying under certain circumstances under the spell of material nature. As a result, he is suffering different kinds of happiness and distress under the illusion of sense enjoyment. Persons who are everlastingly fooled by lust and desire lose all power to understand their change of body, and they stay in a particular body. They cannot comprehend it. Those who have developed spiritual knowledge, however, can see that the spirit is different from the body and is changing its body and enjoying the different ways. A person in such knowledge can understand how the conditioned living entity is suffering in this material existence. Therefore, those who are highly developed in Krishna consciousness try their best to give this knowledge to the people in general. But their conditional life is very much troublesome. They should come out of it and be Krishna conscious and liberate themselves to transfer to the spiritual world. Nam Vishnu, Vidaya Krishna Stavakaya, Shmati Bhakti Vinata Swami, Kinam Namaste, Sarasvati Vivu, Vanavichara, Shesha Shimani Shatavaya Shatavaya. Really nice verse. Actually, I found it after I heard this expression sometime a couple of weeks ago. It kind of caught my mind. How many people are here from South Florida? Anybody raised or born in South Florida, Miami Beach in particular? No, I guess I'm the only one. We might not really catch on to this expression, so I might have to explain it. Anyway, the expression is God's waiting room. That's what they call Miami Beach, is God's waiting room. Because up north, when it's all rainy and cold and smoggy and everything, you got to put chains on your tires and there's blizzards going on, then you know, if you've lived in Florida any time at all, the snowbirds come down here, right? They enjoy the nice sunshine state here. And when they retire, they think, hey, I'm just going to go live down there at Miami Beach and enjoy. So this is where Miami Beach got the name, God's waiting room. And so they get tired of that misery, and they come down here, and they think, yes, I'm going to retire. This is more or less saying that pretty soon I'm going to have an appointment with God, and I'm going to have to leave my body. And so they come down, and they try to squeeze a little bit of pleasure out of their old bodies, and try to get a little bit more sense gratification, something they may have missed out on, sit out in the sun, get extra sunburn. And they come down and they enjoy the nice warm weather, and they put on their muumuus. Anybody know what a muumuu is? Oh, there's a few old ladies in here. Muumuus, I figure out how they got the name. They're just like a sack that you wear. It's just like two pieces of cloth sewed together, and it has no form. It doesn't give your body any shape, but it's cool, it's about knee length, and it's just comfortable. And so they think, yeah, I'm just going to put my muumuu on, that's all I need to wear, a simple life. I think it's because you look like a cow, you don't have any figure out whatsoever, you know, but they could care less. So anyway, they enjoy their muumuu, and they bring their little dogs and poodles and everything down, and they try to think that, oh, I'm just going to kill time until that appointment comes. So this is a waiting room. They kill time, but time is killing them, actually, very quickly. And so this whole world actually is a waiting room, not just Miami Beach. We're all waiting. And most people have no idea what they're waiting for or who they're going to see after their appointment is called. And they have no idea what to expect next lifetime. So this is can be a little nerve-wracking, especially I'm sure everyone's been to a waiting room before, whether it's something's good going to happen or bad going to happen, there's a little bit of anticipation. And so this is some anxiety. Even though you're trying to enjoy, there is that anxiety of what's next, what's going to happen next. And here in this purport, it describes the foolish people, that they just can't understand about the difference between matter and spirit, of my body and then spirit. Some people have no clue whatsoever. But as sure as death, this is going to happen to all of us. No one can dodge their appointment. You're going to have to sit and wait. There's no excuse that anyone has that they can't not meet this appointment. And so this is a pretty nice waiting room, this material world. If you look outside, it's nice and green, and it's pretty and warm, and birds chirping and everything else. And when I go to a waiting room, I always look around at the decorations, right? And when I was a kid, there was always be the entertainment part. Anyone been to a dentist and a long time ago and would pick up the magazine called Highlighter, where you look and you could see the little hidden things in the pictures, things to entertain you. I was in an office waiting the other day, and a lady came with five kids, and she went in to get her teeth done, and a nurse had to come out and entertain them all. So they brought out all these millions of toys and things like this. It was so nerve-wracking. Anyway, we have to keep entertained to be here in the waiting room. And so definitely plenty here to get absorbed in. Every corner, there's different things to do. Now in the waiting room, all you need is your phone, right? Everyone, you have to put it on, you know, what do you call it, silence or something like that. But it can keep, everyone's just looking at their phones the whole time. And that's pretty much what can happen in this material world. You can get lost in an illusion of the material world, and you can get lost in the illusion of the illusion, the virtual world, the digital world also, that doesn't even really exist. But in general, this material world is boring, quite boring. Of course, the bones might help a little bit, but we have another verse I'd like to read, describes a little bit more of the situation along the same line. This is in the Bhagavatam, describes the different living entities and how they have a tendency to just waste time while they're in the waiting room. This is in Bhagavatam, the second canto, first chapter, text 12. What is the value of a prolonged life which is wasted, inexperienced by years in this world? Better a moment of full consciousness, because that gives one a start in searching after his supreme interest. Purport. Srila Sukadev Goswami instructed Maharaj Pariksit about the importance of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord by every progressive gentleman. In order to encourage the king, who had only 7 remaining days of life, Srila Sukadev Goswami asserted that there is no use in living hundreds of years without any knowledge of the problems of life. Better to live for a moment with full consciousness of the supreme interest to be fulfilled. The supreme interest of life is eternal, with full knowledge and bliss. Those who are bewildered by the external features of the material world are engaged in the animal propensities of the eat, drink, and be merry type of life, or simply wasting their lives by the unseen passing away of valuable years. We should know in perfect consciousness that human life is bestowed upon the conditioned soul to achieve spiritual success, and the easiest possible procedure to attain this end is to chant the holy name of the Lord. So yes, there are the foolish and then there are the intelligent. I actually lived on Miami Beach in a hotel right next to one of these apartments that have all the elderly people that come down from the north. And I had a perfect view from the 5th floor. The building was called Govinda's Vaikuntha Building. It was right on Miami Beach. It was actually, Vaikuntha means no anxiety. And so it was really very clear for me to see the difference between what was going on in our building and what was going on in the building there, the foolish people that are trying to enjoy. And they had Monday night dancing outside on the patio. Old ladies trying to dance and things. And then another night they had bingo. Another night outside they had shuffleboard. And they had all kinds of fun things to do. But it was, they had their red lipstick on and their bikinis on. And these are people as old as I am now. I mean, pretty sad cases. And I was thinking, what a difference, here they are wasting their life, and here we are in Vaikuntha Building. And it was so nice, from 24/7, early morning, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, we're up and we're listening to Bhagavatam, we're chanting, we're getting trained. The importance here in both of these verses is that we have to get trained in spiritual life. And so we have training in these temples all day long, all night long. And this is the key, that we can change our consciousness. We can change and see the difference between matter and spirit. And of course, all night long, while we were trying to sleep, what would you hear? Sirens. All night, right? On Miami Beach at night. Sirens, because all these people are meeting their appointment. Very night late appointments. You hear them drive up, taking them away, trying to enjoy all day and leaving for their appointment, not knowing where they're going. So this was a great realization. And we could see that, we had enjoyment, beautiful prasadam. We even had a Govinda's restaurant. We had entertainment. We had bhajan. And of course, we had the pool and the beach for our keep our material body and soul together, which wasn't bad. And we had classes, sankirtan, book distribution, all things to absorb and elevate our consciousness so that we can fix our mind on Krishna, on God, realize that we're his servant, and go back home and be with him again. So everyone has been as a visitor into a waiting room. And the first thing you do when you go in the door is, please go to the front desk, right? Check in with the receptionist. So in the material world, what we do? We come here, we check in with the receptionist. Maya's there to greet us. The illusory energy is there. Oh, you're here again? Let me get your file. And they go back. You have to get a truck to get your file because you've been in the material world so many lifetimes. And then you look through all the files. Roach body, scorpion body, tree body. Oh my God, well at least you're a human being this time. Congratulations. Now you can really enjoy. You've got full facility, go for it, right? And so then they say, okay, now what's next? Next you have to fill out forms, right? So you fill out your name. You know, you're a servant of Maya. That's your name. And then you have to figure out your date. Then you got your date of birth again in the material world, another lifetime. And then what's the next thing you have to serve out? Then you have to fill out, oh, what's your occupation? Now, according to scriptures, what is their occupation? What is their identity, really? A fool. They should really write fool. Because they're here again at the stupid waiting room, waiting to be reborn again and again. And they're fools because they're chewing the chew. They're picking something up and trying to get more pleasure out of it. They're trying to enjoy a bagel in Manhattan and a bagel in Miami Beach, but never really getting satisfied. So this is a pretty pitiful situation. And what's the purpose of their visit? To try to enjoy again. And then each time, what happens? They get rescheduled. They say, well, we'll have to reschedule again. And according to their karma, to all the things that they've done, which is all down in notes, they have to come back in another body and get on this wheel of birth and death. But a devotee has a different program. Their waiting room is different. They get their form, they get greeted, and they go, oh, you're here. You're going to finish up your business, right? Yes. Please come here, fill out your form. And you look in birth, no, not applicable, N.A., put N.A., not applicable, right? I've never been born. I'm eternal, right? And what is your name? Krishna Das. And what's your occupation? Servant of the servant of the servant. I'm simply an aspiring bhakta. So then it comes to do you have any problems or complaints, anything to write down? Yes, I'm sick of this material world. I want to finish it up, I want to get out. Are you on some kind of prescription? Yes. The holy name, prasadam, that's all I need. And who's your doctor? Srila Prabhupada, he can recommend me. Yeah, and so this is a whole different scheme, and so we have to make sure that we find some intense training, so that we can be prepared, so that we can actually finish up this business, and it's a difficult fight. Maya is very strong, very prevalent, especially in Kali Yuga, super super duper strong, but Bhagavad Gita says that there is the weapon, and what is that weapon? Which is mentioned here in both verses, knowledge. So we have to get trained. We have to, especially here, hearing more about who we are and where we're from. And Srila Prabhupada, he also recommended, he was asked when he was in Chicago, there was an article saying that there was such crime in that city, that what to do, crime and what to do. And so Prabhupada said, bring the mayor here, and I'll speak to him. And I'll tell him what we can do to stop all this problem. And he said, get me a hall. We saw a beautiful hall down here for sale. Give me a hall. We'll have prasadam, and we'll have kirtan. This will solve all your problems. So we could see that in the Vaikuntha building, unlike the other buildings on Miami Beach, the anxiety was not there because of the chanting and the and the joyful process of taking prasadam and dancing and hearing this wonderful philosophy, absorbing our intelligence so that that we can really understand when we see the material world, what is the difference. But God also is waiting. He's waiting in a room. Where is he waiting? He's waiting in our hearts. He's been there a long time in that waiting room. And he's looked around and he's seen all kinds of desires. He's seen it decorated, not nicely, not kept nicely, dirty with selfish desires, with pride. But he's been waiting. As soon as we decide to call on him, to chant the holy name, then he's willing to help. He'll immediately start to guide us and send us to someone who will help us clean up our act, to become humble and to put some mercy and cleanliness and eagerness in our hearts, and some determination to become pure and to take advantage of this shelter that Srila Prabhupada has given us, all this knowledge. The guidance is there 24/7. We can chant his name and he'll hear us and he'll help us. And then gradually, as we become purified, as it's described here, jnana chakshus, the eyes become turned. You can turn it and get clearer and clearer and clearer so that you can actually see who we are and who everyone is, that actually everyone is spirit soul. And then we can see Krishna everywhere. There's a nice story in this regard. During the Depression, there was a real need for jobs, and there was a lot of competition for everyone to get jobs because it was, not easy to find money. And so there's this one person, he heard of a calling that whoever knew the Morse code could come and apply to get a job. And so they had gotten this warehouse, it was under construction, but they put three rooms, 1, 2, and 3, and actually hundreds of people came to get this job because they wanted the job. It was very noisy, hammering going on and everything. But they all took a card with a number on it, and they all sat down. This man came, and he got his number and sat down. And it was quite a long time, because there was only like three doors to go to, and they would call number 5, number 10, and then someone would go, and then they would leave, and then call another person. And then all of a sudden, this man just walks up, goes into one of the doors, wasn't called, just walks into the door. And then he's there for a few minutes and he leaves. And the man comes out of the door and says, okay, you can all go home, we found who we need. And everyone's going, this guy just jumped line. He had a number, he just went in there and you're giving him the job. What's going on, what's going on? And he goes, that hammering was a Morse code saying that whoever heard this should come to room number 1 and you will get the job. So you can see how the consciousness was so sharp that he was ready. His knowledge of the Morse code was so sharp that he could hear that hammering and hear the message and go get the job. So that's how trained we should be. And Srila Prabhupada definitely was that trained. I had a really nice experience just 2 days ago. I was in the garden, and we have some bhaktas here. And they were discussing, they were working together, and I could hear them, I wasn't very far away. And they were discussing about Srila Prabhupada. And it was so wonderful, it was like nectar to my ears to hear them talking about Prabhupada. And they're very new, only a few months in the movement. They were going, yeah, he's so sharp. He's materially and spiritually, he's just like right on it. And I was going, you're right, wow, you really understand Prabhupada. And it's true, Prabhupada was on it. Materially and spiritually, he was sharp. And he could defeat anyone. So this was very nice. There's also a nice story, a Srila Prabhupada story that Dhananjaya told me. An old Prabhupada disciple, we were kind of sharing stories, and he told this story that in Krishna Balaram Mandir, there are two back rooms, and they're kind of like waiting rooms, and sometimes they take guests in there, and this was a long time ago. Prabhupada was on the planet. A long time ago, and they were made into a place where you could bring guests and talk about Krishna consciousness, maybe get them to become a life member. And there was all kinds of nice, they had made one of them into with nice white sheets over the bolsters and really pretty, all clean and nice too. And they wanted to show Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was on a walk. Every morning he would walk for his health. And the devotees would go with, some devotees would go with him, and he'd come back, and they said, okay, so we're going to have Prabhupada, when he comes back, before he sees the deities, we're going to take him and show him this waiting room, what we've done to it, and how nice it is. Hopefully appreciate and understand that we're really trying to serve him nicely. So they come and they walk, and then they say, Prabhupada, we'd like to show you, we have a nice waiting room. And they sit him down on a nice white bolster and everything. And Prabhupada looks around, and he has his cane, and he hits the floor really hard, and he goes, simply sex life. And everyone goes, what? And everyone looks at each other, a bunch of sannyasis and people that organize the temple, and they're all looking and going, something happened, we don't know about what's going on, you know? And then Prabhupada took his cane and went. And he went up to the fan, and there were pigeons up there. And you know what pigeons do. They have their sex life, and then they drop the poop on the fan and on the floor. And Prabhupada said, just see, your vision is here, but my vision is everywhere. So you can see that Prabhupada was an amazing person, and he's trying to train us to also become very, very conscious of Krishna. So this training is the key. And when you think of it, just the Bhagavatam itself, we always think of all the different stories and everything of the Bhagavatam, but these are teachers, these are training us in so many different ways. I mean, I've written down a few of the teachings that I can think of. I'm sure we could go around this room and come up with dozens more, but of course Rishabhdev to his sons, about a king who was trying to teach his sons to take use of this human form of life. How about Judd Bharat to King Rahugana, supposedly dumb and blind, you know, dumb in person, and he tells the king how he should rule. Prahlad, of course, we heard the other day, he preaches to his friends and to his father, demon father. Chitraketu's dead son comes back alive and teaches his father the importance of not being attached. Kapila to his mother, Krishna to Arjuna, Maitreya and Vidura, Uddhava, so many. You're not too young. No one's too young to learn. No one's too old to learn. No one's too advanced to learn. Madhvacharya, he was already sannyas at the age of, what, 6 or 7, something like that. Such an advanced soul. And where does he go? He doesn't need to be trained, but he goes to Vyasadeva, climbs the Himalayan mountains to get trained. So never too old, never too young. And so this is stressed. Prabhupada stressed this for our temples also, that there should be education going on. And we all used to live in the temple, and of course we had regular light-related life, and we were trained in that way. But Prabhupada also trained us to become householders and to have a congregation that also was trained to hear and to chant regularly, chant 16 rounds, become initiated. So we can't skip out just because we're householders. We still have to be very firm in learning more and more, picking up the book every day, chanting our rounds every day. Otherwise, we're subject to what? The so-called civilization. And what did Prabhupada say about this civilization? It's soul-killing. Kills our soul. Everything around here is just trying to kill you, trying to keep you in darkness, trying to keep you in ignorance, so you don't even inquire who you are or anything. You just want to go play shuffleboard the rest of your life, you know, or do it on your phone. You can probably play shuffleboard on your phone these days. Who knows? So Krishna's embodying us to serve him, and so we should take it up. We should not be foolish and think that we can eat, drink, marry, do all that kind of stuff. It's too expensive anyway. One night out, $100, right? And then you get 100% karma, and then that goes into, you know, your karma account, and then you're back on the wheel of birth and death. Whereas a devotee, one moment, as it describes in the Bhagavatam, one moment of chanting can purify you, can erase all your karma, can put you back on the path of liberation, can get you attached to Krishna. So we want to get off of this wheel of repeated birth and death. We don't want to get rescheduled for another appointment here. It's too sad to have to do that again. So it's best that we take advantage of the great saints, study these literatures, and there was even one short story, it's getting a little bit late, but of Haridas Thakur, he's our biggest teacher, trainer of the holy name. And he was trying to tell people the potency of this holy name, of taking it and using it. He said that you can, this chanting of the holy name, he was in a big people, you know, a lot of hundreds of people. And he said this, just the shadow of the holy name can free you from all the sins that you can even commit, as you can get rid of all that sinful reaction. And there was a person in the audience that was going, not possible. He was doubting these words, that the holy name was so potent. And he was very proud, his nose up in the air and everything. Ah, I'm so great. And I Haridas Thakur, this is not true. I swear that if it's true, then if it's not true, I'm going to cut your nose off. And Haridas Thakur goes, if it's not true, I'll cut my own nose off. And then in a few days, everyone was scattered. Everyone said, this man's going to, he's asking for it. You don't fool around. You don't offend the pure devotee. You don't offend the holy name. He doesn't understand what he's done. And everyone just went away. And in 2 days, what happened? He got leprosy, and his beautiful nose melted off. So we shouldn't doubt that this holy name is the process that will purify us, will hook us back up and link us back to Krishna and get us off this crazy Ferris wheel. So take advantage and chant the holy names and fill ourselves with this knowledge. It's so easy now. We have our phones. We at least can use them spiritually and listen to something transcendental while we're doing our service to Krishna. So maybe someone has some questions or more advice for ourselves.
Any comment, questions?
Any doubts?
In Miami Beach, it seemed like they were really having a good time on the ocean, yeah. And you know, yeah. Playing in the water and having, like, you know, walks on the beach and
coming back.
It seems like a nice place to retire. Why make it sound so negative?
So sunburned. Oh, if you go on the beach while you're going Hainan.
I was there for 10 years too, by the way, on the beach.
Yeah, it was the same building. Quite a few of us were at that building. They got alligator skin from being out in the sun so long. And then the sirens at night, they're taking them all away. And they're not enjoying. You know, after a couple of years, you see them with the canes. And after that, you see them in the wheelchair. And then you don't see them anymore. So it's an illusion. There's no joy in this material world. It's meant to be miserable. Otherwise, we're going to stay here and be in the waiting room forever.
You work hard your whole life. You might as well go and retire in Miami Beach where the sun is there and you can be on the ocean and relax.
Yeah, go right ahead. We don't have a temple there, unfortunately. All those people next door, that was good for them. They got to hear the holy name at 4 o'clock in the morning. Got to see devotees. We need another temple over there. No, that's the illusion that covers our eyes. We have to reveal our eyes and by this knowledge. Don't be fooled. Miami Beach is not so great. I remember when we moved from the farm, we had a farm on Coral Way, and we moved. I helped move the farm to this building. It was an old, old building. And I remember throwing a phone book on top of a scorpion running down the thing, you know. There's always danger at every step. So don't be in this illusion. Anybody else? Do you have something?
What's happened with this place in Miami Beach?
I went...
I
don't know if it's still there. The building is still there. I think.
We had this for like 9 years, and then we sold it and got a place to call it.
There was more preaching. It's hard to preach to somebody who doesn't want to hear knowledge. And most of the people in Miami, they just don't want to hear it. They just want to think they're enjoying. But Coconut Grove was a better place. It got sold.
It's a place where temple knocked?
No. No. They probably knocked it down.
No, it's still there.
Is it this? Did they do it? Really? They probably fixed it up.
They renovated it for $144.
What does Chef Coconut mean when you say, Bill
Gold? Well,
suffering happiness.
In the book,
is a verse that you read,
Chef
Prabhupada said,
suffering happiness. So-called happiness?
Suffering
happiness. Yeah, just like you were saying, it looks like happiness, but you can't have any happiness without suffering. To go out, you have to work hard to get the money to go out and spend it, And then you come home with a hangover and everything else. And so, undoubtedly, if there's some so-called enjoyment, there's a lot of the suffering. Old age, that's a good example. Anybody else? Okay, so let's go enjoy nice prasadam and chanting. Yes?
I just wanted to say a wonderful talk that you gave. Hare Krishna.
He was one of the ones talking about Prabhupada. It was great to hear that, because we need to hear about Prabhupada. We don't want it to stop. We want the younger generation to really know Prabhupada and how wonderful he was. So one way to get trained, we don't all live in the same building, we don't all have to go to the classes, but there are many online classes, and come to the temple and find a mentor, find someone to help you and actually train you to do the proper things and to have the right sadhachar, how to act properly, how to offer your food, how to dress it, to come to the temple, how to greet and not to be offensive, how to chant your rounds. You can find a mentor. There's so many great advanced devotees here. So please take advantage. Hare Krishna.